The vaccine that everybody is talking about getting on this is not going to help stop COVID-19 from being a part of what we already have. You follow that? So right now, with everyone screaming about the vaccine, with everyone talking about how bad this is and that we can't return to our regular life and that this is going to be the new normal until we get a vaccine, really, there's no basis in reality for thinking like that because there's nothing that shows the vaccine will prevent folks from being sick in the future. So if we're not going to be able to get rid of this, what is the big focus on the vaccine in the first place? Now, of course, a lot of people, and I'm going to try to prevent myself from connecting dots that aren't there. All right, we can talk about the fact that there's money present and it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And that is a huge fear because you're building this empire based on something that really isn't helpful. As a matter of fact, back in the 80s when companies really started pouring money into vaccines, there were dangers in it, so they stopped doing it. So the government had to incentivize companies to create vaccines by creating a vaccine court. A vaccine court is where they pay out damages to people who have been vaccine injured, as a matter of fact, those folks who are hurt with that, which brings up another important topic here that we need to discuss. We're being told that the vaccine is what's going to end this crisis, what's going to return us back to where we're going. We're told in comparison that if we don't do these things, masks, social distancing, shutting down businesses, etc., that we are in fact putting the lives of other people in danger. And by putting the lives of other people in danger, we are being accused of not loving other people by not loving our fellow man or fellow woman, that we would rather go back to work and jumpstart an economy so that we could get money and then not care whether or not someone else is going to be sick. And that is an egregious attack against us. We're not trying to open the economy back up with the express purpose of folks dying, nor are we trying to open up the economy with the knowledge that people are going to die and we just don't care. We're trying to reopen what has been closed so that those who are injured through this draconian implementation of economic closures will reverse the effects and will actually be able to take care of our families and folks can pay their bills. You can see throughout the country, throughout the world, that people's businesses are shutting down. Folks don't have enough money to pay rent. They don't have enough money to buy food for their kids. We want that to stop. And it's not that we don't care about the immunodeficient. It's not that we don't care about the vulnerable populations who can be hurt by the coronavirus. It's just we're thinking that we have to make a balanced, calculated risk because we're not going to be able to eliminate sickness and death. It's not going to happen. We cannot do that. We have a remedy to the pains of sickness and death through Christ, but we do not have the ability to vanquish evil or vanquish sickness or vanquish death. Death was destroyed in Christ, and we don't fear that anymore. But politicians and governments and policies can't stop this from happening. So there's a balance. There's a trade-off. What are we going to do? I saw a meme the other day on Facebook that said, to prevent traffic deaths, we're going to stop all driving until we have a decrease in death for 14 days, and then we're going to reintroduce certain people in the population that are allowed to drive slowly until we're back to the new normal, or something similar to that. And it was a glaring comparison to the other things that we do, where we are willing to take a risk on people's lives. But on this situation, all of a sudden, there's no desire for any risk whatsoever from the side of the government. I mean, think about it. Let's shut down the Super Bowl. If you really do care about lives, the Super Bowl and the Kentucky Derby, let's start with those two things. The Super Bowl and the Kentucky Derby are two of the highest trafficked times of the year. more children are sold in sex slavery and pimped out for molestation and sexual deviancy during the Kentucky Derby and during the Super Bowl than any other event. Let's stop that. I'm fine. I know people are football fans. I live in Kentucky. We have some nuts that are crazy about the Derby, but let's do this. If you're that concerned about the death of people, if you're that concerned about the protection of children and the protection of elderly, if you're that concerned about the protection of our population, let's start with the Derby and the Super Bowl. You have the guts to stop those. We could talk about the other stuff, but don't virtue signal and tell me that I don't care about the elderly and I don't care about the immunodeficient when you still allow the Derby, you still allow the Super Bowl, and you're still pushing for abortions. That's right, folks. You're listening to the Crusade Channel, always on air and always online at crusadechannel.com. You could be a part of the show today. Sound off on what we're talking about here by going to the Crusader Stadium, crusadechannel.com/chat. That's crusadechannel.com/chat. All we ask for is an email address for access. We don't save it. We don't spam you. You go in there, you drop your comments, you make a friend, talk, all of those things. If you're there as well and you're enjoying the chat room, down in the bottom right-hand corner, there's a dollar sign, a little grayed-out dollar sign. We pay for that service so that you all can come in there and enjoy yourself and talk to folks, okay? What we would like you to do, if you can, to spare just a few dollars, drop it in there. Just click on that little box, put in your donation. That'll help us keep that going. We're offering everything here for free right now as far as your access to the stream. You can go into the chat room as well. So please head on over there to that little dollar sign in the bottom right-hand corner of the Crusader Stadium and click on that and donate what you feel led to do. So if you want to tell me that you're so concerned about life, you're so concerned about people, and you're so concerned, and those who want to return to work are not, let me ask you this question right here. Dr. Fauci was giving his statement to the Senate earlier this week, and as I was listening to it, something caught my eye. Now, look, I'm gonna play this for you. This guy's voice, it's nothing. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, man, I have a hard time listening to this guy because every time I want to clear my throat every time I listen to him. But I heard something that caught my ear, and I want to know if it catches your ear too. Here, check this out from Dr. Fauci this week, just on Tuesday, I believe, giving his testimony to the Senate about the coronavirus.
That there's also the possibility of negative consequences, where certain vaccines can actually enhance the negative effect of the infection.
Did you catch that? Just want to make sure you did. He is talking about vaccines. As he's discussing the way forward for vaccines, as he's discussing the necessity of creating vaccines, he throws in there about a 10-second clip from this over 5-minute video here, a little 10-second clip about something, and I heard it, and I was like, wait just a second, Dr. Fauci. I just want to clear something up here, sir, if you could be so kind as to repeat what you just said. So I got it queued up here. I'm going to play it for you again so that you get a clear understanding of it.
What candidates work. I must warn that there's also the possibility of negative consequences, where certain vaccines can actually enhance the negative effect of the infection.
I must warn, he says, talking about vaccines, there's also the possibility of negative consequences. Certain vaccines can actually enhance the negative effect of the infection. I must warn you, we're going to create vaccines, but there's still going to be an impact on people from those vaccines. Do you know right now the vaccine injury percentage of folks who are administered vaccines? I believe let's just take the flu vaccine for instance. I'm go to crusadechannel.com/chat. I'm going to give you just, start a little timer here. I'm going to give you I'll give you 20 seconds. I want you to tell me what the percentage of, or what you think the percentage of, vaccine injured cases are. Your time starts now, Roger. Best of luck. So, Fauci is testifying on the necessity of vaccines. Yet when he discusses them, he lets folks know that there is a danger of people actually being hurt from this. You have 5 seconds left. The percentage of people that are injured via vaccine is 2.5%. You take a vaccine, you have a 2.5% chance of being vaccine injured. That's 1 in 39. It's like 2.567, blah, 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 something like that. So I round it down to 2.5% of people who are administered vaccine, of children who had administered vaccine as well, who are injured. Now, when you say that, I've talked to two nurses that I know. And when I've said that comment to them about requirements for vaccinations for kids, and I said, well, there are certain people who have vaccine injuries or children who have been vaccine injured. Two separate nurses looked at me cross-eyed. Why? Because the majority of folks who report this, they don't link it to the vaccine. You administered a vaccine, 24 hours later, your child goes into a seizure, there's hives all over their body, their eyes roll back in their head, and then from that moment on, they are never the same. Folks, it is heartbreaking. If you go out and look at some of the vaccine injury stories and cases of people out there, children who have developed neurological disorders, physical disorders, behavioral issues, psychological problems. You know, we see the explosion of peanut allergies. That's also linked to the way in which they grow certain ingredients for these vaccines, and it increases the intolerance towards peanuts. That's why there's such a resurgence of peanut allergies and so many different allergies that we see, is because the vaccine schedule has been ramped up and more chemicals are being shoved into those. All right, I said I wasn't going to get off into that, because this is, even though there's facts and evidence about this that I believe supports my case, I can't make that decision for you, okay? So we're looking at 1 in 39 vaccine-injured cases. That's 12 out of 500. And Schaefer, if you're out there, you can correct my math. By the way, congrats to Schaefer out there. 24 out of 1,000, 240 out of 10,000. That's 2.5%, ladies and gentlemen. 2.5%. of folks who take a vaccine that are injured. All right, Barker, what's up with that? Who cares? Here is what's up with that. I have tried to find, and if you go to the Johns Hopkins website, the one that we initially followed to report the worldwide cases of COVID, the infection cases, the death rate, the recovery rate, all the breakdowns of the states, etc. If you go to that website, and you look at the global map, right now, around the world, we have, I'm trying to stall because it's loading right now, the wonders of technology, 4,444,670 total confirmed infections. Those are total confirmed infections. There are currently 302,493 deaths.